Pray with me, if you will. Father God, we come before you as we open your word, and we just want our hearts to reverberate with what the psalmist said, that we are to praise you in your sanctuary. We are to praise you in the mighty heavens. Praise you because of your mighty deeds, according to your excellent greatness. And Father, that's what we see, not only in the Psalms, not only in the book of the law or in the prophets, but here in the book of Revelation. We have the door is opened, and John is seeing a vision of yourself. You're seated on your throne, surrounded by creatures and elders and angels, and you are receiving glory and worship. Thank you for that opportunity of again visiting through the Word of God where you are and what you are like. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how did I get to this slide? Where are we at? Okay, I will find my way back to where we're supposed to be. Okay, that's where we ended last week. So we trust Christ's victory and therefore participate in the cosmic conflict as victors. Now, you remember that in Revelation 1:19, we have what many of us understand to be an inspired, that is given by God, outline of this book. So we have the things that are, the things that you've seen, the things that are, and the things that come after that. So the vision of the Son of Man, who was dead but is alive forevermore, is what John had seen. The messages to the seven selected churches in Asia are the things that are. And then anything after that, and we will see, as we already have in Revelation 4:1, that we begin with the words, "And after this." After this, I looked, John says. And so that would include then the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, the new heaven and new earth, New Jerusalem, and the eternal state. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, that would have been Jesus' voice, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Now, as we get into the book of the Revelation to John, we're going to find what I'm calling some interesting components. And these interesting components can trip us up as we're reading through, because we're not reading a story, and we're really not, you know, we're not reading a treatise, we're not reading a logical presentation. What we are reading is a revelation. And the revelation includes a number of different kinds of things. So we have heavenly scenes, such as where we are right now. John is bid by Christ to come up here, and he will show John what must take place after this. And he sees a door opened in heaven. And then we have this majestic scene of God seated on a throne and so forth. There will also be enactments of judgment. And in fact, there will be three series of enactments of judgment. So what I've written on the board are 1 through 7. The 7th becomes 1 through 7, and the 7th of that becomes 1 through 7. So we've got seven seals. The seventh seal is made up of the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments are made up of the seven bowl judgments or vial judgments. So we have three series of judgments through the books, through the book. That and they do not complete the enactments of judgment, but they're a large part of it. Then we also have explanatory visions. And I think chapter 12 is wonderful in helping us understand what's taking place throughout the story of Scripture as well as at the capstone of history. So these components flesh out the book. They contribute naturally to the message of the book. So what I'm trying to say is don't get tripped up. If you come to a vision, you say, well, wow, here we go with another vision, or man, oh man, you know, what's this? You know, why do we have another judgment taking place? And so forth. That's just what was presented to John. And he's being a faithful secretary, record keeper, visionary writer. He's writing down what's been given to him. So as you're reading the book, just understand, okay, well, this is the next thing John saw. And receive it that way. So John records things as he saw them. These heavenly scenes help to unfold the coming drama between God, angels, and mankind. The phrase, after these things, at minimum, It's a sequence marker, but it's more than that. It's also a temporal marker. And of course, the messages are those things. Notice here, he says, after this, I looked. Now, that is a prophetic introduction. It tells us that he's going to see something prophetic that other people are not seeing. That in fact, he alone is seeing. And it's been given to him to record and to tell others about. So after this, I looked, and this is a vision formula. We see Ezekiel using it. Daniel uses it. Various prophets, as recorded in Kings and Chronicles. Isaiah says what? Oh, I can't quote it. I thought I... You would think we could, but okay. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Oh. I lifted up my eyes and looked, Zechariah says a number of times. So with this introductory statement, we know that John will see a vision, divinely inspired, worthy of being recorded. This is, we could say this is John's Ezekiel moment, because Ezekiel has the same experience. There are so many like experiences recorded for us in the scriptures. So, bottom line here, as you're reading the book of Revelation, or as we are studying it together, realize we are being given an open view of what's going on in heaven and of things that will yet take place both in heaven and on earth. We're seeing privileged material. Nobody else sees it unless you're reading the scriptures and you're in a class on the scriptures. This is revelation. It's being revealed to us. And John was the recipient. He was the recorder. He didn't manufacture this. He didn't think, well, I wonder what I could write about God today. No, this was given to him. He recorded things about God. I'll stop there. Sixth time.